Wrong mic.
This is my wife's mic.
The empty chair is my wife's chair. She is not well this morning. She does not have COVID. We're not infecting anybody, but she has a bad cold. But it's good to be here this morning. We've been looking forward to this for a long time, ever since we made these arrangements. And this morning, for the next about 45 minutes, we're going to be sharing some music. And this started about a year and a half ago when it was time to go to the prison and do what we call the Cookie Project. And we take homemade cookies into the prison. And one of the chaplains said, you know, we can get along without the cookies, but we can't get along without the caroling. Usually we take over the number of prisons, about 1,000 people, maybe 100 at a time into a prison. And this prison was in Ohio, the Marysville Women's Prison. And the chaplain said, just send me a CD. I'll put it on my cart in my boombox, and I'll go up and down the cell blocks, and I'll turn it wide open, and that'll be Christmas. I said, you know what? We're going to try to do one better than that. We're going to try to make a video of caroling. So we did that. It turned out well. So we did an Easter one as well. And so you're going to hear a lot of songs that are Easter songs. And a couple things happened. One, to make a video for broadcast, getting the license is different than it is for just a regular recording. It takes a lot of time. He said, you know, let's just do public domain songs. Yeah, there's a lot of good public domain songs. And in the process, we were reminded how important some of the old songs of the church are. To be public domain, you have to be 97 years old. Mike here said he's got an aunt that's public domain. And he said that a while ago. Actually, she's gone to be with the Lord. Now she's heavenly domain, right? And I don't know, this brother that talked about his wife, I'm still going to trying to figure out he's going to live through that. I don't know, brother. You must know a lot about him that I don't know, but that's just, I mean, I just taken your life in your hands. But God bless you. You might be public domain before the day's over. I don't know. But there are so many great songs of the church, and I love the new worship. I love the new songs. We need to sing a new song. It needs to be exciting. It needs to be alive, but there's some great music that has been a part of the church for years and years and years. And you know, we were talking about this the other day with one of the guys on our Canadian team, and he said, you know, too many times we just want to push all that back. But, you know, some of us are older, and we've lived these songs. They've been our marrying and our burying songs. We've been through all kinds of stuff in our life, and these songs express our faith. And we can't just throw it away. So if you don't like the old songs, I hope you'll bear with us this morning. And, you know, there's something special about, I think some of the older songs have some really deep meanings. And I think it's like studying the Word of God. The deeper you go in the Word, the more you get, right? And some of the songs, and God bless the new songs. I know we call them 7-Eleven. We make fun of all the things. But they repeat the same phrase over and over and over. And maybe it takes that to get through sometimes. And I'm okay with that. But sometimes the poets, the people who wrote the songs years ago, took it a little deeper. I hope this morning that not only it gets to your mind, I love what your hymn book says. I don't know if you've read what Mr. Temple wrote in the front, what worship is. And I hope that happens here today. God, touch your heart, because we want you to see Jesus. We're just a bunch of clay up here we're stumbling heavenward, trying to find our way. We're one beggar telling another where to find the bread. But I hope you see Jesus today. Look to Jesus.
Such a
might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, when God's own Son was crucified for man the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt mine eyes to tears.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself. heal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. We serve a living Savior. That's enough to say amen about for a long time. Amen. Boy, it's a privilege to be with you again this morning and just share these songs. Every time we sing them, I just think of the words. I think of the words and maybe a little bit of what was this writer going through? What was he experiencing to pen these words? Then I think of my own life and what did I experience when I've sung these songs. The name of this project was called Look to Jesus. And we spent a fair amount of time as a group. You know, it was COVID. Mics are from the West Coast. So we Zoomed. Everybody knows what Zoom is now, amen? We Zoomed them in. Now, singing with Zoom is a little difficult, Brother Luke, but we figured it out. But we would sit in a circle and put them on the screen. And we would just share with each other. One of the questions that Glendon asked each and every one of us, he said, is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? What does Jesus mean to you? What does he mean to you? How do you look at him? What do you look at him as? And as we were thinking about that, we prayed, we cried, we laughed, we sang. But I was thinking more and more about it as we kept working on the project. And I remembered a passage of scripture where Jesus is walking through the countryside with his disciples. You remember that in Matthew chapter 16? And he turns to his disciples, Jesus himself. And he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're a prophet come back from the dead. Or they named a couple of their significant prophets in their lifetimes or in their history. And then Jesus turned to them personally. And he said, but who do you say that I am? That's my question for you this morning too. It's a question that every living being, human being, will answer. Can you say that he is my blessed Redeemer, as this next song says?
Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see. Wounded and bleeding,
Jesus was led through the streets, carrying his cross to be crucified outside the city with two other criminals. The one of them mocked his name. He said, "If you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself?" The other said, "When you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" And Jesus said, "Today you are with me in paradise." The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." He breathed his last. He gave his life for you and me. The price for sin was paid in full. He is our blessed Redeemer.
Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise. He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish Thee, O rugged cross.
Sing it with us, will you?
Trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling
cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe
I'm thankful for that love. It said, love lifted me from the waters, lifted me now, safe am I. And earlier today, I had that thought. This is a safe place to come and worship with the people of God. And so it's a blessing to be here. Our next song is called Man of Sorrows. And it goes, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. That's the line that has spoken to me a lot in this past 5, 6, 7 months, however long we've been doing this project and working on the songs. And I'm thankful for that, that Christ came for ruined people like myself. I remember grandparents and older folks would tell me, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how needy I am. And as a 20-year-old, I thought they probably, I don't know, it wasn't just quite right or something, because I was had my life ahead of me and things were well. And now I'm middle-aged and I'm starting to realize what they meant. You know, we need God on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. And that the story in the Old or the New Testament about the two men that went to the temple to pray always encourages me. The first guy said, you know, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I pray, I fast, I eat healthy, I, you know, give tithes, whatever. And the other guy wouldn't even lift up his head. He just said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's, I can relate to that second guy a lot more than the first guy often, and I'm thankful that God came to reclaim us, to set us free, to heal us. Across this room, probably everybody is dealing with things to a certain extent of in one level or another, and I think about that. You know, people are dealing with things. People are working through stuff. There's disappointments. There's brokenness, but God came for all those things. Invite him in to those situations. I challenge you with that.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around him, and sure the dominion of death and the grave. He burst from the fetters of darkness that bound him, resplendent in glory to live and to save. Loud was the chorus of angels on high, the Savior hath risen and man shall not die. Glory to God in full anthems of joy, the beating he gave us death cannot destroy. Sad were the life we may part with tomorrow, if tears were our birthright and death were our end.
Stand with us, but Jesus.
But Jesus hath cheered the dark valley of sorrow and made us immortal to heaven ascend. Lift then your voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die.
Amen. For the next couple minutes, I would just like to take you to the scriptures and give you several mandates that we have, commands to worship God and to look to Jesus. I hope you've been looking to Jesus this morning. I hope you see him. High and lifted up, the exalted one, the one who is worthy of our praise. A lot of times we look, but we don't see. And I'd like to try something this morning. I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody's closure. You got to have your eyes closed. This won't work, okay? All right, guys. What color dress is your wife wearing? Okay, you can open them up. I'm not going to ask you how many you got it right. We look, but we don't always see, right? And maybe what we see, we perceive it to be something else, and we don't always get a good, clear focus. And I was thinking about a bird. You know, birds have eyes in the front of their head, and they have them on the side of their head. Not the same bird, but different kinds of birds. And, you know, when you ever watch a chicken walk, you know, it's always doing this, you know, it's looking around. And, you know, an owl has eyes on the front of its head, but it can turn it 270 degrees. Maybe you can do that. I don't know. But it's pretty amazing. But we look, but we don't see. But I understand, I was looking at this, a snowy owl can see its lunch 600 feet away, a little tiny mouse in the grass. Now, don't think about lunch. Some of you guys, lunch is it's only 100 feet away. You can see it today. But a bird has, an owl has an amazing sight, and they have great definition of what they see. And we can look, but do we see? And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We're going to look at a couple different passages here that talk about where to look and why we should look these directions in this way. Hebrews 12, 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and he is now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. We can look to Jesus because he is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Salvation's plan was not authored by the U.S. government. You figured that out by now, I'm sure. It's not authored by your family, your parents, although they hope you come to Christ and they would pray you into the kingdom and teach you and help you to find that way, but it's still a decision that you have to make. But it's authored by God himself. It's God's plan. It is a marvelous plan. How the God of a holy heaven and of a holy place would send his son Jesus to such an earthly place where there are broken and hurting people. And he did that we might be saved. He is the author and the finish of our faith. One of the things that we are called to do is to worship him. When you look at Jesus today, I don't know where you see him. Do you see him on the cross? Do you see him high and lifted up on a cloud? Do you see him as somebody walking beside you? One of the glimpses that I have of Jesus, and especially as we're thinking about the time of his death and his resurrection, is to see him on that cross. And I remember as a young man, we had a pastor that would come to our church and he would do the communion services, and he so graphically depicted Christ on the cross. It broke my heart so many, many times. And I believe that's one of the reasons that I love him so, because I know of all the anguish and all the pain and all the things that he has done for me. We are to worship him. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, and those who were crying out did it 24/7. All day and all night they cried out and called him holy. We must call him holy. He is worthy of our praise. In Psalm 96:9, it tells us that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. So we look to him, we worship him, we see his beauty, we see his glory, we see his majesty, and we worship him. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "They cried out, 'Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they will exist, and they came to be.'" He is worthy of our praise. We look to Jesus today and we praise him for who he is. He is our Savior. He is our Savior. And we think about that especially as we sing these songs about his death and his resurrection. When you look to Jesus, do you see the thorns, the crown of thorns on his head that were put there to mock him? The one who is the King of Glory, who wears the highest crown that can ever be worn. Can you see the anguish that he carried as he carried that cross? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, "He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." There's a lot that happened when Jesus died on that cross, his death and his resurrection. God wants to heal you today in every way. In the Old Testament, there was a time when the plagues were coming upon the Egyptians. The children of Israel were out in the wilderness, and they said, "Okay, you brought us out here to die." And then we read this passage that comes from Exodus 15:26. He says, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, if you will obey his commands, then I am the Lord your God who will heal you." God wants to heal you. He wants to heal you emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. He wants to bring healing as a church. This past year and a half, a lot has happened, hasn't it? And we didn't know what was coming. You know, it's divided so many people. It's divided churches. We have some churches in our neighborhood, in our area, that have closed the door till further notice. Don't know what to do. There's broken people all around us. We see the marks of sin in our society. We see it firsthand in prison, those who've lost their way. But Jesus came to bring healing. He says in Luke 4:1-3, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, and to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord's favor." We have every reason to look to Jesus. Here's a song that says, "Look to Jesus." When you turn your eyes on him and you look at him in the light of his glory and his grace, the things of this earth, the problems that you have, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There's one who understands your situation. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. And his name is Jesus. He knows your disappointments, your fears, and your failures. But no place is so dark that his light cannot reach. Though shame and guilt lay heavy on your heart today, I promise you, he's only a prayer away. He hears the cries of those who call. In faith, look up to him and leave it all. And at his feet, humbly bow. Turn your eyes on him, and he will save you now. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I know that God is real. And I know that his son, Jesus the Christ, is real. And he'll make a difference in your life if you'll trust him, if you focus on him, if you'll turn your eyes upon him. Whatever that disappointment might be, that struggle you're going through right now, I promise you, he'll lift your spirit. He'll lift your heart. He'll carry you through the darkest hour.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for giving your time to us this morning and leading us in this time of praise and worship. And I've been touched. I've been blessed this morning. And you talked about seeing, and the scripture here in Matthew 12, it says, or Matthew 13, rather, it says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. It says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of his people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see what their eyes with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we have the opportunity to be able to see and to hear. And thank you for drawing our attention to the crucified Lord and the one that we serve. And thanks again for this. Let's give them a hand for their time and service this morning. You can stand together for prayer and then we'll be dismissed. And, you know, Glennon asked us to close our eyes and think about what our wife is wearing, and I thought about Amos, the poor guy. He couldn't see out of his eyes anymore. Anyway, let's pray together. Father, we thank you again this morning for this time we're allowed to have together. And God, I pray that you would continue to lead and guide our hearts. Lord, as we walk through this life and as we go through the things that we all experience in life, Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon us. God, I pray that our eyes and our ears would be tuned to you, that we would always see, Lord, your sacrifice that you made on the cross for us, that we would never forget, Lord, that in the times when things get rough, when things don't make sense in life, Father, I pray that you would draw our hearts and our minds back to you, that we would be able to hear you, that we would be able to see you, Lord. That is my prayer. That is my cry for our church here today. I pray, Lord, that we would always be able to see you, that there would be nothing that could raise itself up that would blind us to who you are and to the fact that you gave your son and you gave that perfect opportunity, that opportunity for life. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you would lead our hearts, and I pray, Father, for a revelation, for an opening. I pray for a freedom for those individuals that do not know you. And Lord, this morning, this being the day, the opportunity, God, I pray that that opportunity be seized today. Lord, we continue this service around food here today. We thank you, Lord, for those that have prepared it. Pray that you would bless the food. I pray that you would strengthen our bodies with it. And Lord, we give this here time of fellowship around food to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. And sure. That's good.
We'd like to do one more song. I forgot. I got mixed up in the order here. But I have one announcement, one request, a prayer request, that you would pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth reapers. We need personnel at our office. Jim and Ellen Eichstee, some of you know, Ellen passed away this last August, the mother of Kendall and Carlene, and we need personnel, so just pray about that. One more song. You can be seated, or you can stand up.
Or you can stand and sing, whatever you'd like to do.
Help us.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood. To his name, there to my heart was
Thank you. I'm glad we didn't miss that one.